I'm so glad that you have joined us for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program, brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for your interest in studying the Bible, and we are here to let the Bible speak to various topics, doctrines, things going on in our life today. We want to consider those things and those topics and those doctrines in light of God's Word. We want to let the Bible speak. That is what is so important, because that is letting God speak. We're not interested in my opinion or tradition or what I think or feel, but what God says, and we can trust that. And so I'm so glad that you're with us this morning. A lot of times in the past, I have driven around town and seen billboards for various church advertisements, and they will say, "Come as you are." I want to talk this morning about that idea of come as you are. It's a popular slogan today, and I've seen it different places. A lot of times I see it as an advertisement for a particular church. And come as you are actually is ambiguous. It means different things to different people, and maybe that's the whole idea of that slogan. You can kind of make out of it what you would like. To some, it means bring your casual dress or demeanor, however you want to dress, however you want to act when you come. So some have that idea. I don't have to go out and buy particular church clothes. I can just get up and go however I'm dressed. To others, it means that that particular church will not require anything of you. They won't put a lot of pressure on you to be active or be involved or do this or do that. And that's how it's taken by some. And then, of course, to others, it means your sins are welcome here. And we'll qualify all of these things in just a minute, but some get the idea that they can stay in their sin. And so, come as you are has changed from being an open invitation to come worship. We certainly invite people to come even worship with us. We want that at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. But it has changed from being an open invitation to come worship to a slogan that promotes inclusion and tolerance of sinful things. And so, come as you are can be fine in some regards, but if the person is taking that to mean I can stay in my sin even after I get there, then we have to look and see what the Bible says about that. So come as you are has turned into stay as you are, or come as you are and leave the same way. And that is a problem. So this morning, I want to look at this popular slogan. Now, before we go any farther, let me say that you can come as you are without having to buy any particular special church clothes. And if you were to, if somebody was walking by the church building and they had some blue jeans on and a t-shirt and some tennis shoes, we're not going to bar them from coming in. So, in a sense, I'm in favor of an invitation to come. To come and visit and worship and see what we are about. And everyone is welcome in Clarksville. Everyone. What I'm talking about this morning has to do with a person's lifestyle. Do they need to change that or not? That's what we're going to consider. And so, I hope that our study this morning will be important. The issue this morning is not, should sinners come as they are? Of course they should. In fact, we sing the song in our songbook, very popular invitation song, Just As I Am. We need to come to Christ just as I am. And when we come to Christ, we're going to be coming to Him with sin in our lives. I'm talking about someone who hasn't obeyed the gospel, or even a Christian who has fallen back into sin. And sinners should come as they are. Of course they should. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And all sinners come to Christ as sinners. In fact, Jesus wants sinners to come with Him. You may recall during His ministry, and we find this especially in Luke chapter 15, the reason why Jesus talked about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son was because He was eating and associating with sinners, and He was teaching them. He wasn't condoning their sin, but He was around them in order to teach them and influence them. And it was the Pharisees and the scribes that murmured, Luke 15:1, when the publicans and the sinners were drawing near to Jesus to hear Him. Notice that, to hear Him. He's teaching them, and that's going to involve teaching that will encourage them to get out of their sin. We'll see that later. But they were murmuring, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And that's what started the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. So Jesus wants you and I to come to Him even in our sinful condition. So the issue is not, should sinners come as they are? Of course they should. The issue is this, and listen carefully, when sinners come, should they be told of their sin and should they be told to stop it? Should they be allowed to leave thinking that they can stay in their sin? That's the issue. And so, we want people to come as they are in their lifestyle. But if one's lifestyle includes sin, and sin as defined by the Word of God, not by me or some local group of people, but that which is defined by the Word of God, if I come in that sinful state, I need to change that. I need to leave differently. And that's what is ignored in our religious society today in America in many places. And when somebody reads on a billboard, come as you are, and they get the idea that I can go visit that group or be a part of that religious group and stay in my sin, then they've gotten the wrong message, and they certainly have not gotten the biblical message. Come as you are, unfortunately, for many means, I can come and stay in my homosexuality. I can come and stay in my adulterous marriage. I can come and stay with my, quote, illness or disease, maybe my abuse of alcohol. I can come and stay in my current religious beliefs, even though they might be erroneous. They might not be the Word of God, and so forth. That is the problem. So this morning on the program, I want to let the Bible speak to this matter, because if you stop and think about it, Jesus had people coming to Him with all kinds of things going on in their life. How did He deal with that? When the New Testament church began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the other apostles, in the days that followed, they had people coming to them with various things going on in their life. How did they deal with that? That's how we should deal with it today. And that's how we want to approach it at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We don't want to be any different than Jesus and His apostles. So let's look at this matter of come as you are. And let's see what we can learn concerning that from the Word of God. Turn with me, first of all, this morning, friends, to John chapter 4, when Jesus met with the woman at the well. Let's notice some people coming to Jesus, and then we'll look at his apostles later. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets with this woman at the well, and notice that he was willing to identify her sin. He identified the sin in the sinner. In John chapter 4 and verse 18, call your husband. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said, well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. This hast thou said truly. You should not be with this person. And with regard to her worship, he said in verse 22, you worship that which you know not, because she was a Samaritan. She was not worshiping according to the Old Testament law in Jerusalem at the temple. We, the Jews, worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. So he addresses her marriage. He addresses her religion. Jesus was willing to do this. Look at chapter 5, when Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. After he had done that, verse 14, John 5, 14, afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee. He pointed out his sin. Look at John chapter 8. I had the woman caught in adultery on my mind there when I said her. John chapter 8 and verse 11. And he said, and she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way, from henceforth sin no more. And the condemned there is condemned to death by stoning. He's not saying, I don't condemn you of your sin. He recognizes her sin. Go sin no more. She was caught in adultery. You'll notice when people came to Jesus, if you just read your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find sinners coming to Jesus, and he did not ignore that. He did not condone that. He didn't say, come as you are and stay in that sinful lifestyle, and I'll condone it, and I'll be in favor of it, and everything will be fine. That just simply is not the case. And so today, we don't need to do anything different than Jesus would do. Another interesting thing you find with Jesus is that some sinners who came to Jesus left in the same condition, and Jesus rebuked them. So that tells us he expects us to make a change. For example, the rich young ruler, if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 10, the rich young ruler came wanting to know what to do to inherit eternal life. He had a great attitude in seeking Jesus out, and he had a good youth. He had lived by the law in many ways. But in Mark chapter 10, in verse 17, that tells the account there, verse 21, Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest, go sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But his countenance fell at the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. And later Jesus looked at his disciples, and he was talking with them about the rich young ruler. And he said, how hard is it for they that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye, than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So he uses this man who walked away in his sin. He used him as an example of someone who will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's hard when you're trusting your riches. If you give that up and you're willing to make a change, you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the key there is trusting, not just having riches, but trusting in them. That's the problem. Jesus did this again in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is a chapter on discipleship and what it means to truly follow Jesus. And he laid down some demands of discipleship in John chapter 6, that like eating flesh and drinking blood, one is to fully consume and digest Jesus, as it were. And in John chapter 6, verse 66, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus therefore said unto the 12, would you also go away? Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Will you also leave like these individuals? They came and they left as they were. Same thing with the rich young ruler. So Jesus expects people who come to him in a sinful condition to make a change, not stay in that condition. Notice when Jesus invites people to come that they are to be taught of him and learn. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, the well-known invitation that Jesus gives to all mankind. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I would say that much of that deals with burdens that are brought on by sin. And I will give you rest. We can have rest and peace when sins are forgiven through obedience to the gospel of Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Underscore that in your Bible. Learn of me. Learn not only what it takes to be saved, but learn what it takes to change our life and be a different person. After we come to Jesus, we need to learn and then make some changes. And that's what we would hope would happen with any sermon or lesson that I or somebody else might present at the Warfield Church. When you come and hear that, you learn. And we learn how to be better, how to make a change, not walk away and stay the same. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus wanted people to make a change. What about his apostles? Well, the same is true there. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the church began, some 3,000 are baptized into Christ, and the church begins there on the day of Pentecost. The Lord continues to add to that church daily, such as were saved, and we can be added to that church even some 2,000 years later. We can be added to that same body of saved by doing the same thing. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, into the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can do that same thing today, friends, and be added to the Lord's body. But notice that Peter told the crowd to repent. That means to turn, to make a change. And they asked, verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter didn't say, well, don't do anything. You came as you were. Just stay that way and leave happy. No, they realized that they needed to do something because his lesson was pointed. Verse 36, you have crucified Jesus. It was a lesson that pointed out their sin, and they felt the brunt of that, and that's what good sermons will do, not make us feel comfortable in our sin, but point that out. And they said, what shall we do? And he said, repent. You've got to turn around. You've got to stop living this sinful life and be baptized. That's what washes away our sins. It's not repent and you'll be saved automatically, and then down the road later you can be baptized, if at all. But repent and be baptized, every one of you. Both of those come together with the little conjunction and. It's very simple English. Both of those are necessary for remission of sins. And they did that, some 3,000, verse 41, and they became members of the Lord's church. He does the same thing in the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's what he always did when people came to him in a sinful condition. So it's very important to understand that. And when people refused to change, Peter did not, and Paul and others did not just simply condone that. In Antioch, when Paul was preaching in Acts 13 and verse 46, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken unto you, seeing that you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Some people refuse to change, but Paul doesn't say that's okay. He goes on to others to preach to them. Some in Corinth stopped their sin when Paul was preaching there in Acts chapter 18. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, Paul, looking back on when he was there in Acts 18, in the beginning of that church, he outlines some individuals who engaged in sinful kinds of things, but they stopped that. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, "Or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men." The King James says homosexuals, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were," past tense, "some of you, but you were washed," there's baptism, "you were sanctified," set apart, "you were justified," made right, "in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." They stopped that. "Such were some of you." So they stopped it, and we can do the same today. When Paul was preaching to Felix in Acts 24 and verse 25, he heard about self-control, righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. And that's what we need to hear today. We don't need to hear, "Well, just come in and continue living like you are." We need to hear, if there's something not right in our life, we need to hear that we can control that and stop that and change that. And you look back at that list at 1 Corinthians 6, 9, somebody says, "Well, you know, you can't stop that." You can. Fornication, that's sexual immorality. Idolatry, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with men, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers. You look at that matter of drunkards, alcohol. People say, "Well, you know, I've got a disease and an addiction and I can't change." You can stop these things. And I'm not trying to downplay the challenge there. I know of individuals who were greatly challenged in some of these areas. It was difficult for them to stop it, but they did. And you can as well, friend. And you must. So, when people came to Jesus, he wanted them to change. When people came to the apostles, they wanted them to change. So today, we offer the invitation to come and make a change. Just like God did with Israel back in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. We make the same kind of invitation today. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Notice he says, "Let us reason together." He doesn't say, "Let us feel what we feel." He doesn't say, "Let us give our opinions about what we think," but reason. Let's consider what the Word of God says. Let's examine the Scriptures. Let's see what the truth is. "Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Look at what he says. "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Jehovah has spoken it." He offers them to have a life white as snow. Those sins can be completely gone, but it is going to involve the condition, willingness and obedience. Not just thinking about it, not just talking about it, but getting up and doing something about it. We come as a sinner, but we can leave as a saint if we are willing and obedient. And so we call upon sinners, ourselves included, when sin is in our life. We call upon sinners to make a change, to make a change. I want to address this matter of inclusion before we leave this morning. That's really the whole idea of some who, I'm not saying everyone, but some who say this come as you are. Some, it's just this idea of inclusion and diversity and acceptance of all lifestyles. And I want to address that. You don't find that in the New Testament. You actually find the opposite of inclusion. You find exclusion. You find that there is a certain way. Jesus, for example, told the devil that God is the only one we are to serve, Matthew 4:10. Only one God. Paul said that if we engage in a certain kind of behavior, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We read that earlier in 1 Corinthians 6:9. He also says it with regard to the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:21. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no option. There's no other way. If you engage in these things, you will not, absolutely will not, go to heaven. That's just the way it is. Another word that is found in the New Testament is the word accept. Except you be born again, you cannot see God. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Except you repent, you shall perish, Jesus said. Luke 13, verse 5. These are exclusive words and statements, and I realize that they are unpopular today, but they're the very words of Jesus, and we must accept them. Another one is no one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one. No exceptions. We have to go to God through Jesus Christ, not through Judaism, not through Islam, not through Hinduism, not through Buddhism and a bunch of other isms, but through Christ. No one. Peter preached in Acts 4 and verse 12. That there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Speaking of Jesus. No other name. That's exclusive. And we must get back to that exclusive nature of the Word of God. So, call sin what it is. Sin is sin. And when we preach like Jesus and the apostles and the other New Testament preachers, we will be calling individuals out of that sin in order to be in a saved condition. We're not going to be ashamed of any negative aspects of the gospel. The gospel saves, Romans 1:16, and it involves repent and be baptized. Turn around, change your life, and be baptized. We're not going to abuse the grace of God like some did in the New Testament period. Jude verse 4, they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Just live any way you want. We're not going to do that, friends. And so, yes, come as you are, and together we will work to make the changes in our life so that we will leave a better person and a Christian in the sight of God. And if we can help you to do that, we would ask you to come be with us. Thank you for being with us on the program, and we hope that you'll have a good day.